Well, good morning to all of you. Again, I am so grateful that you're here this morning. I am forever grateful to our veterans as well. But I will be the first one to tell you, if you come into my office, that I do not choose to confuse my patriotism with my spirituality. Because God gets the bookshelf all to himself, and my patriotism is not on that shelf. And so I do not ever want to confuse the two. Doesn't mean that I'm not patriotic and that I don't care about veterans or our armed forces. I do very much and appreciate them. But as a church, as believers in Christ, we should not ever confuse the two or give them the same equal status. All right, enough of that. This morning, as we finish up, our series, at least for now, we're going to finish up our series that I've called Stand Firm. And I say for now because of this, because if you haven't noticed, if you have not taken a good hard look at what we've been doing for the last 5 weeks, you would understand and see that this is a daily, weekly, minute-by-minute battle that we are up against to not put into the place of church tradition the things that are man-made, but rather to put into the place of tradition biblical truths. And so I say that we're going to wrap it up for now, but we are going to continue this battle probably till Christ returns. And so this morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have a Bible, and I hope you do, turn there. And as you turn there, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And now it says this, starting in verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason that any less, for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He has desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Father, thank you for your divine word. Father, thank you for what we are about to do in this place as we take a look at your word. Father, we ask for the help of the Holy Spirit as we interpret your divine word. We are completely undone and incapable without that help. So, Father, would you grant it to us as we see clearly what it is you would have us to learn from your word today. Thank you for your church. Thank you for these people that are here in this space. Would you be pleased and honored with what we do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to go back to this because I think that sounds much better for today. So we just read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 through 25. I want to show you a picture of something that I have, okay? This is a picture of my keys, okay? These are the keys that go to my vehicles. These are the keys that go to my home. And these are also the keys that go to the church, okay? And so what you see is you see a whole bunch of keys, not one cut exactly the same. And yet you would all look at that picture and agree that those keys are keys. And somebody would say, well, Brother Adam, what about the keyless key fob for your Jeep? And I would tell you, it's still a key because the Jeep will not run without it. So the Jeep, it is absolutely necessary for the Jeep to function. So therefore, it is a key. But they're all keys and they're all different and they all look different. What does that have to do with what we are talking about today? What we're going to address today is what I wrap into a bundle, and I'm going to call it church leadership. Now, we're kind of, if you were with us last week, I'm glad. Last week, we talked about the tradition of programs and where we tend to stand firm on the tradition of our programming that causes us to become a come-in-and-sit environment and a come-in-and-sit church instead of a get-up-and-go body. And so we're kind of piggybacking on that today because when I say church leadership, what comes to your mind instantly? Many of you may have thought of the person and the people standing on this stage. And to that, if you think of me, I would say A+, not because of me, but because you thought of that. Church leadership, okay? The pastor counts for that. And so if you thought of that, A+, there are passages of scripture that deal directly with the leadership of the local church. And there are two scripturally charged offices of the local church, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 5 tells us about elders. That is one of the two scripturally charged offices of the church. In that falls pastor, shepherd, and you see that in 1 Peter chapter 5. So I'm just giving you some chapters and books so you can go look. That's where those definitions are. So A+ for you, if you thought about that. Now in those verses, you will find qualifications and prescriptions, if you can let me use that word, that allow for those leaders, elders, pastors, shepherds, in the local church. Okay? What's the other one? Maybe you thought of something else. When I said church leadership, what did you think about? Maybe you thought of the pastor, A+ for you. Maybe you thought about deacons. If you thought about that, A+ for you again. Anybody failed the test? No, don't answer that. A+ to you. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Acts chapter 6 give us qualifications and a biblical approach to deacons. So you have elders and deacons, two scripturally charged offices of the local church. So A+ to all of you, because I know that's exactly what you thought about. So I wish that was the end of it. Case closed, open shut. Church leadership. And what do I mean when I say church leadership? What do I mean when I show you a whole bunch of keys that look completely different in and of themselves, but they are all considered to be keys? There are passages of scripture that deal directly with the leadership of the local church, and then there are places that deal with the entire body, or the capital C, church. Have you ever thought about those passages of scripture having to deal with church leadership? When they deal with the entire church, not just pastor, not just deacons, but the church, the entire body, the local body of believers. People that have an invisible relationship between the Redeemer and the redeemed. The church. And those passages of Scripture, can we safely ascribe those things to leadership. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. What is he distributing? If you go back up a little bit, you would notice he is distributing spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. Distributing them. How? To each one individually. Now this is not, think about a thunderstorm. Have you ever been in a thunderstorm? We've had lots of rain recently. This is not that, where everybody in a 2 mile radius of that cloud gets rain. And everybody says, well, it rained at my house. If you're underneath that cloud, yeah, it did. This is individually giving of a gift. So what does that tell me when it relates to the church? The capital C church, the body of believers. It tells me that each one of us as believers gets at least one gift. Oh, don't you feel better about yourself already? I do. I feel better for you. Each one of us gets at least one. How exciting is that? Now, soon it's going to be Christmas, right? I hate to even bring it up. But we've been hearing about it for quite some time. Especially if you're Hobby Lobby, that start Christmas in what? August? Don't go any further. July. Good grief. I would just prefer that you take a fork and stick it in my eyeball than send me to Hobby Lobby. That's my own personal preference, though. You don't have to like it. Hobby Lobby is just not my place. It smells good in there. Right, Sam? It's good. Hobby Lobby, man. I should just name it like a big scream for men. I'm sorry. Unless you need yarn? Yarn is good. Enough about Hobby Lobby. I like Hobby Lobby. It's fine. Okay? I just prefer to shop somewhere that has power tools or something. It's okay. Lowe's. Home Depot. Christmas is coming. It's beside the point. Christmas, nobody takes a gift, an individually wrapped gift, that has their name on it, on the tag. Do you guys still make the tags? I'm coming way down here. Yes? That's a big deal, right? Because the tag says to what? To so-and-so, from so-and-so, or from me. And that's a big deal. Because you pick that gift up and you know, this gift is to me, has my name on it. Now, who in their right mind takes that gift that has the tag made out and it is perfect and ready for you and leaves it under the tree? And then whenever Christmas comes and goes and we put the tree up and put all the decorations up and put it all back in the attic and that gift goes with it. No. No, this is not how this works, because we want to take the gift as soon as we know it's for us and take it out and unwrap it and open it and look in the contents of it and then experience the gift in all of its fullness. And why is it so much different with our spiritual giftedness? Because each one of us has at least, how many? One. At least one. And yet sometimes we have taken that one gift that is addressed specifically to us and we have put it up with all of our other spiritual things and say, you know what? It can go in the attic until I need it. That's not how it works, church. What do I mean when I say church leadership? My daughter will appreciate this. Zig Ziglar. What a name that is. motivational speaker and author, tells a story about Belgian horses. Belgian horses. One Belgian horse by itself can pull a whopping 8,000 pounds. That's what I call horsepower. 8,000 pounds. So it would stand to reason that if you put two Belgian horses together, come on, students, help me. 8,000 pounds with one, two, get how much? 16,000. Praise the Lord for teachers. 16,000, that's what stand to reason, that two Belgian horses together, even if they're strangers, this is the fun part about this idea. In his synopsis of Belgian horses, Zig Ziglar, I just had to say his name again, said this. One Belgian horse can pull 8,000 pounds. Two completely strange to each other, they're strangers to each other. Two horses, two Belgian horses, can pull not 16,000 pounds, but 24,000 pounds. Just two completely strange horses together, they triple the amount they can haul. And with a little bit of work, and you tap into getting them to know each other and have a person that is overseeing them, they can pull up to four times what one horse can pull. They can get to 32,000 pounds of weight. What does that have to do with church leadership for the global Big C church? Because each one of us have at least one gift. I want to take a little different turn here, because in our own individual lives, if each one of us could pull 8,000 pounds of spiritual weight, and you put two completely strange people together that are believers in Christ, it would stand to reason that we can do a whole lot more for the kingdom than just one of us. But if we begin to coordinate and work together and get to know each other, and I experience the fullness of their gifts, and they experience the fullness of my gifts that are both given to us by the Holy Spirit, man, how much work can we accomplish for the kingdom? Because here's the thing. You may have heard this said before, and I've from different people. Everyone needs a Paul, everyone needs a Timothy, and everyone needs a Barnabas. Now, you may have any idea who those people are in Scripture. That's okay, because I'm going to help you. Your Paul is the mentor who pours their life and their wisdom into your life. Your Timothy is the person that is receiving those blessings of mentorship. And your Barnabas is there to challenge and encourage you. Everybody needs those people in their life. What do I mean by that? Let's take a look at our text again, starting verse 12. For even as one, as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. We can't all claim to be hands in verse 15. We can't all claim to be eyes in verse 16. And we can't all claim to be hearing, because that just wouldn't work in verse 17. And I love verse 18. And I've talked about Mr. Potato Head because it's how we tend to play church. We got to stick this in that and do this here and do this here. But God even gets in on Mr. Potato Head here in verse 18. Think about how fun this is. Watch. But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. But here's the fun part. He didn't give a definition of what it should look like or what it might even remotely look like. But he has placed all the members in the body in their individual giftedness just as he has desired. Man, how fun is that? Now, each one of us has at least one gift, and God has so specifically placed that gift in each one of us, and then he has so intricately and in his sovereignty placed each one of us with that gift together to form a body. Now, how does this all go back to church leadership? Because here's the thing. We cannot all surround ourselves with Pauls. If everybody in the room was a Paul, if everybody in the room was trying to exercise their wisdom and pour out their ministry life into another person, I don't know that it would work, because I may not be able to be your Paul, because you may be further along in your spirituality than I am. And that's okay. And we can't all be Timothys at the same time, because we need to find people that can become our Pauls. We need to find people that can mentor us and teach us and help us along in our journey. And so if you're always a Timothy and you're always looking to soak up and soak in, and that's fine in and of itself, but you can't stop there. I cannot stop there. I cannot become so closed off that I say, well, I'm going to go in, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to let somebody else teach me. And that's going to be the extent of my spirituality. I'm going to go in and I'm going to sit. I'm going to soak up everything I can. It's okay to do that, but you can't let that define who you are. And we can't all be Barnabases. That's a hard word to say in the plural. We cannot all be a Barnabas, because why? You wear people out. I'm going to challenge you at every turn. Be better. Do this. Do that. In the Lord. Here's some encouragement. It's good to have a Barnabas, but you can't always be that. And so what does it mean? What does it all mean? If you're a Paul, pour out your wisdom and your knowledge to the next generation. If you're not in the room to be a Paul, then be a Timothy and learn from the people that are older and wiser, not necessarily even older, but have more wisdom and more spiritual insight than you and I. Let's learn from them. And when necessary, become a Barnabas and encourage and challenge the people around you. Because God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. Each one of us have a gift. Each one of us have been placed individually as a part of the body. And so, therefore, in all of this, every one of us has an opportunity, each one of us has an opportunity to lead within the global church. So when I say church leadership, the tradition is and the stigma is that it starts and stops with the pastor. And I would say to you, yes, it does. And it starts and stops with you. Because there are clearly biblical precedences that are set for the pastor and for deacons. And then there are things that are set for the entire global church. And so in the context of church leadership, global church leadership, each and every one of us has a part to play. Each and every one of us has a role. Each and every one of us has a gift. And each and every one of us has a chance to lead. It does not mean that each and every one of us should be pastors. It does not mean that each one of us should be deacons even. But it does mean that we have an opportunity to lead within our own circle of influence. Remember the keys? Each one of those keys has a different function. At a different time, at a different place, no matter wherever I'm at, it is no different for the church. Each and every one of you as individual members of the body has a different function for the sake of the kingdom. And when God says or inspires you through the Holy Spirit to get up and do something with the key that he's given you and the giftedness that he has given you, you take your key out of your pocket and you use it for the kingdom and you lead and you do. So where do we end up today? I want to talk about these gifts just for a second. I hope you'll come back next week because we're going to start unpacking these gifts piece by piece. See what you might be gifted with. Because each one of us as believers has been given a gift. Some of us know what they are. Some of us have no idea, no clue. Maybe some of us don't even care, which is really scary. The gifts here are endowments given to each person to edify the church. I love that because I cannot take my gift and I cannot take whatever God has given to me as a gift and turn around and say, look at how good I am. Look at what God has done for me and how good he made me and what he's given me. What I can do is take my gift and turn around and say, look at what I can do for the kingdom. And so then the emphasis goes far beyond what God has given to me, but what God can do with me. It's critical that we talk about that and do that. So I hope you'll come back next week as we start doing that. So these gifts are endowments that we might edify the church. The word here is focused on the individual parts as they apply to the whole. The individual parts, each individual gift as it applies to the whole equation. Each one of us has one. Each one of us has something to use it for. So I want to end here. I want you to put this last picture up on the screen for us. This is out in our foyer. And it just so happened that last week sometime, something fell off the wall. And I see a nail that has Love God. Okay, this is a visual representation of our mission and vision statement for the church. Love God has a nail. I'd say we're pretty good at that most of the time. It's one of the main reasons that we continue to come and meet every week in order that we might worship him and show our love and affection for him as a group. Love God, okay? Pretty good at that. Good job. A plus, church. Then we have love people. Still has a nail. We are really pretty good at that most of the time. As a church, loving each other, holding people up, supporting each other. When there is a need, we meet it. Man, I can tell you from experience, this local body of believers does that well. But what fell off the wall? Because we choose to take our gifts that God has given us and put them up in the attic with the rest of the decorations. And so we are pretty good at loving God. We're pretty good at loving people. And we do zero or very little because there's a little left. See, I didn't do this on purpose. There's a little bit left because we take a little bit and use that little bit to try to advance the kingdom when God has gifted each one of us individually for the sake of the whole kingdom to lead and do and be the church. I'm going to have Charlotte put that back up there soon, whenever she has time to make another nail. Let's be better leaders in our own individual leadership for the church. for the sake of the kingdom. Because we can no longer stand on the tradition that all the responsibility falls to the pastor and the deacons. Yes, I have responsibility. Yes, the deacons have a biblically, scripturally charged responsibility to the local body of the church. Yes, we do. And yes, the people that are in places of leadership in that role take it very seriously. But each one of you in this room has an individual opportunity to lead and influence. Will you take advantage of it this week? My goal would be I would challenge each and every one of you, not just to fill the chairs that are around you that are empty by next Sunday, just make a difference in how you lead people in Christ and see if they'll come and be a part of our body, because each one of us has a gift if we'll use it. Maybe you don't know what that is. Maybe you don't know what your gift is. That's okay. If you can't wait to come back till next week, you can come in on Monday and we'll talk about it. You have no idea what your gifting is. We'll talk about that because I want to help you through that. Help equip you to use it. Maybe you've never even made a decision to follow Christ. If that's the case, you really have no idea what your gifting is. So I want to encourage you in that way too. If you need to come and make a decision to say, I need to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior because of what he did on the cross for me, you come today. Let's be better leaders, church, because each one of us has an opportunity to lead. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and how it teaches. Father, as we bring to a close this time together, help us to remember that each one of us, as a part of a bigger body, has been given a gift. Maybe some of us don't know what that is. Father, this week I pray that you would help us to experience what that gift is through our circumstances and through the things that you allow to come into our lives. Father, I pray for this body of believers as you have placed us together to form a local body that we might function together to pull more kingdom weight, to lead individually for the sake of leading the kingdom as a whole. Help us to see that. Help us to take it seriously this week. Convict us where we need it, Father. And let it begin with me. Thank you so much for this time. Thank you for your word and how it teaches. And we give our invitation time to you. It's time to respond to you. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, would you stand with me as we open up the floor for an invitation. The invitation is a time when I invite you to come, and you might have a decision to make. You might have something that you need to pray for. I'll be here this morning. The altar will be open this morning. If you need to come and pray, you come as we sing together. Shall I fear?
me.